Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
As you can tell by the title of my message this morning, this is not your typical Mother's Day message. But when I thought about the recent deaths in our church family, and I started thinking about the subject of grief, I came upon a verse in the book of Acts that we're going to consider in just a moment. But concerning Mother's Day may very well be a day of joy and celebration for you if your mother is alive and the relationship is a good one. But for many people, Mother's Day is a very difficult day. I know people, many people, who will never go to church on Mother's Day Sunday because of the grief and the pain associated with it. There are women who wanted to have a child of their own, but could not. There are many who had less than ideal mothers. And so that can bring some difficulty and pain. There are mothers who are in the process of taking care of their mothers as they are aging in nursing homes and they're going through the struggle and the pain of dealing with that. And there are many of us who had a good relationship with our moms, but they're gone. And we wish we could just hug them one more time. We wish we could hear their voice one more time. And so now that I've cheered everyone up on this Mother's Day, there's no subject I won't try to tackle in a sermon, and this can be a very difficult subject. But I want to deal with the subject of grief by looking at this verse in Acts chapter 8, verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Lamentation is the passionate expression of grief. It means to mourn deeply with loud cries. The book of Lamentation is a collection of laments over the destruction of Jerusalem. The prophet Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Lamentations, is known as the weeping prophet. He grieved over God's people. Jeremiah grieved over Jerusalem, as did Jesus. We read concerning Jesus. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. Jesus was prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, which did happen. And then one day Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, how I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were unwilling." And then he gave this lament, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you." That's what they did to Stephen. They stoned Stephen to death. The Bible says that Stephen was a man full of faith and power, full of the Holy Spirit. They stoned him to death for no other reason than he spoke the truth of God. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The Bible, the New Testament, always speaks of Christian death as sleep. Paul never used the word dead in referring to a Christian that dies. He only talked about the word dead when he talked about dying to sin. And here we find that Stephen slept in the Lord. And so we have Stephen's death. And then the grieving process. They buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. They mourned deeply with loud cries. Now, I don't want to get anyone upset today, and I don't want you to give a loud cry or some lament today, but I was once an avid Houston Oilers fan when the Houston Oilers, I know this is Pittsburgh Steelers territory, right? How many of you are Pittsburgh Steelers fan? Any? Okay, a few of you, okay. God have mercy on your soul. Anyway, so back in, you had Chuck Knoll and you had Bum Phillips. Everybody remember Bum Phillips? This was in from 75 to 80. Chuck Knoll and Bum Phillips, they went at it with coaches. And of course, we all know that the Oilers would have gone to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl if they had had instant replay against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we didn't have instant replay. But okay, don't hold that against me. I don't want to get anybody all riled up on that. But here's the reason I'm talking about that this morning. Bum Phillips, I was listening to him one day, and he said there are only two kinds of coaches in the NFL. Those who have been fired and those who will be fired. And so what I say to you today in this message that I'm giving, there are only two groups of people. There are those who have grieved, and there are those who will grieve. There's no such thing as a grief-free life. To everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And when you talk about time, when we talk about that, there's a beginning, there's an end. And there's a process in between. And so, thankfully, the good news is grief should come to an end. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 20. "Your days of grief will come to an end. I, the Lord, will be your eternal light, more lasting than the sun and the moon. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Amen? So, I've watched a lot of families over the years go through the grieving process. And I make no judgments when people handle grief in different ways. And so, I'm just going to give you my observation as a pastor of what I've experienced and what I've witnessed. And I found that there are really two approaches to this subject. When people go through a loss and there's a time of grieving, and for some people, There's a beginning in the grief. Something tragic happens. Something bad happens. They lose a loved one. Or there's something that brings them into the grieving process. And there's a beginning to it, but there's no end. And they grieve and they grieve and all the way up until death. They get stuck in grief. And because of whatever it is that happened, everything in life becomes colored by that event. And they just can't seem to get to a level of healing. And you have some that fall into that approach. But then there are others who maybe go through the same thing, maybe even worse. And they grieve and they hurt and their hearts are broken and there's pain. And there may even be lasting scars. But they come to the place in their lives where they get to a measure of healing where they can get up and start living again. And so look at this definition here. Grief is something that happens to you. Mourning is something that you do. So there are things that can happen in life that we have no control over at all. We have no control. They happen. And so grief comes. And when grief comes and that pain comes, then there's feelings of sorrow, anger, vexation, frustration, annoyance, pain. And sometimes the symptoms are a temper, irritability, impatience. Then there's anger. People get angry at the hospitals, the doctors, the insurance companies, family members, the church, the pastor, God, even the person that's gone. Because I've heard people say to the person who actually died, why did you leave me? Why did you leave me alone? How could you do this to me? And so all of this comes, this grief and this pain. And so there's an impact of grief. I want you to look at this verse here, Psalm 31, verse 9. David said, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. My soul," look at this, watch this. "My soul and body with grief." This is talking about spiritual and physical pain. The physical and spiritual impact of grief. Some of you here, you know, when you're hurting, you're hurting in your mind, your soul, your body. Everything hurts when pain comes and there's loss in your life. I was thinking about it, you know, we're talking about how to handle grief, you know, and how to deal with it. And I was reminded of David's story in 2 Samuel chapter 12, where David actually gives us a good example of how to grieve, because you remember the story, his infant son died, and before his infant son died, he was fasting. He was begging God for a miracle. He was praying and waiting and going through all that. But once the child died, the Bible tells us David took food, he cleaned himself up, and you know what he did? He went to the house of God and worshiped. He went to the house of God and worshiped. And he found healing. He was able to get up again and move forward in his life. I found an old book. I have some books. I have this collection of books that go back probably over 100 years, maybe 200 years. But I found this interesting thing about grieving in biblical times. And I think in biblical times, I think they did maybe a better job at it than some of us do. I don't know. But look at this statement here I found in one of these books I was reading. Their mourning was chiefly marked by a painstaking and intentional publicity. I'm talking here about biblical. They're talking about how people worship in the New Testament in biblical times. With them, grief for the dead meant beating one's chest, sprinkling or sitting in ashes, songs of lamentation, and the employment of mourning women. Now, I don't know if any of you have been watching the series The Chosen. My wife and I have watched all of them probably twice. I really enjoy those, the Chosen. But there's one where Jairus' daughter dies and Jesus goes and he raises her from the dead. And in that scene, they have people that are paid to come in and mourn. You say, well, Pastor, isn't that really theatrical or isn't that over the top? I don't know. Perhaps it is. But here's my point. This is why I'm bringing this up. They did what they had to do to deal with it. And so, to help us deal with this today, I would like to briefly mention three things that may help us in our understanding on this subject. First of all, I want to point this out. Number one, God grieves, okay? It's important to understand this. God grieves. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father grieves. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Where are we in our society, huh? Let me ask you that. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. And look at this. And he was grieved in his heart. The heart of God today, folks, I want to tell you, we live in a troubled world. Amen. And the heart of God is grieved over sin and evil and the brokenness in this world. We ought to be grieving at what's happening as well. God the Son grieves. A prophecy about Jesus the Messiah. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows. And acquainted with what? Grief. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." You know, we emphasize the cross, and we should. No one can underestimate the physical suffering that Jesus endured on the cross. But I think we sometimes forget the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus suffered. He grieved in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had the sin of the whole world upon him. He sweat great drops of blood as he prayed. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Mark chapter 5, verse 3 says that Jesus was grieved. Jesus was grieved at the hardness of the hearts of the people. And then Jesus wept and grieved over the death of Lazarus. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who were with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "Oh, see how he loved them." So, God the Father grieves, God the Son grieves, and you know God the Holy Spirit grieves. Even in the Old Testament, Isaiah 63, verse 10. "But they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them." Folks, I want to tell you something. I'll confess right now, and it breaks my heart that there have been times I've grieved the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve. Do you want to grieve the Holy Spirit? I don't. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So, first thing I'd like for you to understand this morning, God grieves. Second thing, God responds to us when we grieve. Can anyone say amen? Are you glad for that? God responds to us. when we grieve. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize. Actually, if you want to get technical, that word better understood is the word empathize. We do not have one who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Yesterday we talked about the assurance and the confidence that Danny had. Hermie had the same assurance and confidence. Because of that, we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, when our hearts are broken, when you just feel like you can't take another step, and your soul and your body and your mind and all of you, you're just hurting. What do? I found another old book that I was reading, and I just pulled out some statements here on this book about grieving. And the author said, "Grief is a young widow trying to raise her three children alone. Grief is the emptiness that comes when you eat alone after eating with another for many years. Grief is the helpless wishing that things were different when you know they are not and never will be again. Grief is a whole cluster of adjustments, apprehensions, uncertainties that strike life in its forward progress and make it difficult to redirect the energies of life." But I have some good news today. Grief will come to an end. If you're a believer, if you know the Lord, it will come to an end. And here's the good news. All of us who have been through this or will go through it, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." A better day is coming, folks. Our loved ones who have gone on before us, they're just waiting. They're waiting for us. We're going to be reunited. He said, "Write these words, for these words are true and faithful." Let me give you one other thought that I have this morning. And then if you want to go out and try to fight the restaurant situation, God have mercy on your soul. God helps us when we grieve so that we can help others when they grieve. There's no waste in God's economy. Look at this. Psalm 56, verse 8. "Record my lament, my loud cry, my mourning. Record it. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?" God knows every tear that we shed. How many of you have ever heard of C.S. Lewis? Surely C.S. Lewis, a great Christian author, wrote many books. One of my favorite books is the book, The Problem of Pain. Because there's a positive side to pain. That's one of the things I loved about that book. He points out that the pain and sorrow reveal to us just how much we need and depend upon God. And C.S. Lewis said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pain." Perhaps you've heard this before. "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me." I don't even know how I bring this to a close this morning, but the Lord laid on my heart 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. Why does He comfort us? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So the comfort we receive, we're able to help those who are grieving and help comfort them. I was just so filled with joy today when I saw Donna and her family, saw Connie and her family, and many others. You know, we were praying for the Bowie family and others that all these things that we've seen happen. But I'm here to tell you today, God is a good God, and God is faithful, and He'll help us. He helps us in our difficulties. And I'm just so thankful for that. Father God, I just thank You for allowing me to share Your word this morning. I just pray, God, that You would help us. And Lord, it's not just losing a loved one through death. There are some here this morning who might be in extreme grief because of financial difficulty or a wayward son or daughter, some problem in the family. It could be a host of things. But Lord, you help us in these things that bring grief to us. And I thank You, God, for the power. I thank You for the Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank You that You understand grieving, Lord. You understand. And because You understand, You're able to help us in our understanding and in the things that we go through. Father, I pray now, if there's anyone here, Lord, even though this is Mother's Day, God, I'm just begging You, I'm asking You, if there's one person in this place that doesn't know You personally, I pray that they would come and say yes, that You would just make it easy for them to walk down this aisle to say yes to You, Lord. And not another day would go by without them knowing the joy, the peace, the assurance of not guessing, but knowing that they're saved. Because You promised to give us the assurance. That assurance comes through the Holy Spirit abiding in us. You said that we must be born again, born of the Spirit. I pray that today for anyone here that doesn't know You. I ask this now, Lord, in Your precious name, comfort and give peace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.